Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Well, let's play some music. could see he took me for a friend as he furthered the conversation. He said, I was a preacher man, saving souls in the congregation. I sailed the seven seas in search of the deepest ocean.
America has praise and worship part of the service. All right. Let's get into the sermon. It is titled The Gospel of the Tabernacle. And it's a series of living the tabernacle life. We're going to start in Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 to 10. I was told there was something in the Bible that God spent 50 chapters describing and detailing. Would you think it was important to him? Of course you would. Let me ask you this. Is it important to God? If it is important to God, should it be important to you? Of course it should. Somebody said, Pastor Cam, what's so important to God that he spent 50 chapters of his word describing and detailing it for us, and what makes it important to us? Well, so let me see if I can answer the where, the what, and the way. Let's begin with the where. Where are these 50 chapters anyway? There's 13 chapters are in Exodus, 18 chapters are in Leviticus, 13 chapters are in Numbers, 2 chapters are in Deuteronomy, and 4 chapters are in Hebrew. If my math is correct, that adds up to 50 chapters. That's the where. But what you really want to know is the what. What was so important to God that should be important to us that covered 50 chapters in his word? Well, the what is the tabernacle, the portable worship center of the children of Israel that went with them those 40 years in the wilderness as they made their way to the promised land. From Egypt and then set up and used a Shiloh for another 369 years as they entered the promised land until the temple was built in Jerusalem. Now you say, all right, Pastor Ken, that's the where and the what. But the why was the tabernacle so important to God that he spent 50 chapters describing and detailing it? And why is it so important to us? Here is the why. The tabernacle is important to us. It shows how a simple person can go to heaven. If we all had from God was the tabernacle. No New Testament, no John 3:16, no Romans 8:28, no Revelation 3:10. We would have all we needed to know how to go to heaven. No wonder God spent 50 chapters describing and detailing the tabernacle to Moses. For the next several weeks, we're going to be learning how to live the tabernacle life. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 10:10? The thief did not come to except to steal and to kill and destroy, and I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The tabernacle life is the abundant life that Jesus talked about. Somebody says, so what's the abundant life? I think of it as the best life on earth. It's the living life with peace and protection and provision and power and purpose and praise. It only comes through Jesus. If you want to know more about the abundant life that Jesus provides, then take a look at the tabernacle. The tabernacle life is a photograph of the abundant life. What the tabernacle life pictures Jesus provides. Now take God's word and turn in with me to Exodus 25 as we think together about the gospel of the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 to 9. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. For everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and kea wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing, oil for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones will be set in the ephod of the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you make it. So did you know that you can find the gospel in the tabernacle? Well, you can. In fact, there is an Old Testament gospel and a New Testament gospel, just as there is an Old Testament covenant and a New Testament covenant. With one difference, there's only one gospel. When it comes to the Old and New Covenants, one was tied to the law while the other was tied to grace, two covenants. But when it comes to the Old Testament gospel and the New Testament gospel, there's only one gospel and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. So when we talk about the gospel of the tabernacle, we're talking about the good news of the tabernacle. And what it makes good news is that it shows the way by which a simple person may approach and have fellowship with the Holy God. That sounds like a gospel talk to me. So what makes the tabernacle such good news? Where is the gospel found in the tabernacle? Here's what God wants us to know through the tabernacle. His desire to be with us. That's good news. Exodus 25, verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary, and I may dwell among them. What is a sanctuary? I learned as a child growing up in church what a sanctuary was. How many times did I hear my parents and other adults say, don't run in the sanctuary, don't be loud in the sanctuary, sit still in the sanctuary. Now, I just got to tell you that as a child, I wasn't fond of the sanctuary. Nothing fun happened in the sanctuary. No running, no yelling, sitting still. It was a good day in my life when we started calling it the worship center, even better than the multi-purpose building. What other word do you know that sounds similar to the word sanctuary? How about sanctify? Or what about the word sanctification? What does sanctify or sanctification speak of? Well, they speak of something that's been set aside. In fact, that's the word holy means to be set aside. So when we talk about being sanctified or sanctification or even holy, we're talking about the process of being set aside from the world and being set apart unto God. So when God told Moses in Exodus 25:8 to make me a sanctuary, he referred to the tabernacle, for he goes on to say in verse 9, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. The tabernacle was to be a sacred place, a place set aside. Set aside for what? For God to dwell among them. He says it again in Exodus 30, verse 6. Where will I meet with you? That's the gospel of the tabernacle. That's the good news of the tabernacle. God desires to be with us. Only God desires dwelling with people like us. By the way, the word dwell can also be translated to tabernacle. God says, make me a sanctuary and I make me a tabernacle among them. So let me show you something. Look with me to the New Testament in John chapter 1, verse 14, where we once again read the words of Jesus. He's going to use a familiar word in verse 14, and the word become flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you see it? It's the word dwelt. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word that Jesus used in describing himself dwelt speaks of a covering, a tent, a dwelling, a tabernacle. You could translate John 1:14, and the word became flesh and the tabernacle among us. God's tabernacle is among us is Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 tells us that it pleases the Father that in him and in the fullness shall dwell. And then in 2, verse 9, for in him dwells the fullness of the God bodily. And we're going to find in this study that every bit of the tabernacle was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's called a sanctuary or a tabernacle or a tent, a meeting, or the tabernacle of testimony, at the end of the day, we can know that God desires to be with us. That's what this book is all about. It's about God who wants to dwell with us, who wants to direct and delight us, and that's the gospel of the tabernacle. Now, as good as that is, what would you say if I told you that there's something even better? You say, Pastor, how could anything be better than God desiring to be with us? Well, God desires to be with us is good news, all right, gospel news, but let me give you even better news. Through the tabernacle, God not only wants to know that he desires to be with us, he designed a way to be with us. Desiring to be with us is good news, but even better good news is that he designed a way to make it happen. So how did God design a way to be with us? Well, over the next several weeks, we're going to explore specifically some of the details, but in general sense, we can see he's designed in a couple of ways. There's specific instructions in Exodus 25, verse 9, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of its furnishings, just so you shall make it. So what is a pattern? When I was a boy, I remember my mother taking me to her Hancock's favorite store where they sold patterns and fabric and buttons and thread for dresses, shirts, pants, etc. Then after selecting the pattern, she would select the fabric she would use to make the dress. So after we returned home, she would lay the fabric on the table and lay the pattern on top of the fabric using pins to hold it in place. Then she would carefully take her scissors and begin cutting around the edges of the pattern, and she would repeat the process until the patterns of the fabric were used. Then she would be ready to begin sewing the pieces of fabric together to form the dress. So it was the pattern that guided her in the design. Without the pattern, she wouldn't know where to start or where to stop. The pattern gave her a specific instruction needed to make a dress. Frankly, without the pattern, there would have been no dress. Those patterns in the hands of my mother, God's word was in the heart of Moses and the children of Israel. So no wonder we came across the expression according to the pattern again and again, an expression that the Lord had commanded. Every curtain, every color, every piece of furniture found in the tabernacle was a shadow that pointed to the real thing. And as God laid out the patterns, the blueprints, he expected them to construct it exactly according to the pattern. No leftover parts, nobody had to ask. So what are we supposed to do? How are we to do this? What do we do with these leftover parts? I'm not a handyman. It seems I've always leftover parts, screws, bolts, and nuts whenever I try to put them together. There was a time that I explained that by saying that the manufacturer supplied extra parts if needed, but then I realized that wasn't the case, but rather it was instruction manuals. Who can understand those instruction manuals and how confused are they? I can imagine a group of people sitting around a table writing an instruction manual, and one of them says to the coworker, "Look at how I explained this step. Do you think it will confuse him?" So the coworker takes the instructions his friend just wrote, and with a smirk and wink says, "So you can know that Moses understood every square inch of the pattern God gave him. God expected him to make sure that the specific instructions were carried out with no extra parts remaining. After they were through, and they were going to see God's expectation was perfect obedience. But without obedience, they would never have seen the glory of the Lord filling the tabernacle, as we read in Exodus chapter 40, verses 33 and 35. So Moses finished the work, then the cloud covered the tabernacle, meaning and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Obedience still fills tabernacles with the glory of the Lord. God designed to be with us not only includes his specific instructions, but also through the symbolic implications. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatever things are written, before written or learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." In John chapter 5, verse 46, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, "In the beginning, in Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in the scriptures things concerning himself." Does that include the tabernacle? Absolutely. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews tells us about the symbolic implications of the tabernacle starting in Hebrews 8. It's here we read about the high priest and the tabernacle and the symbolic implications. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, "Who served the copy of the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, where he says, 'See that you will make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.'" And then in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 26 to 24, "Therefore it was necessary that the copies, lit examples, model signs of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves are better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands or copies of the true, but into heaven itself now appeared to the presence of God for us." In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, "For the law having a shadow of a good thing to come and not the very image of the thing." In other words, the tabernacle is full of symbolic implications for our lives. In the tabernacle, we see shadows and patterns and figures of heavenly or spiritual things that are revealed in Christ. For example, just as the tabernacle in the wilderness was the actual visible dwelling place of God, so in Christ dwells all the fullness of what God had bodily. And we're going to discover over the next few weeks that every detail of the tabernacle, from the smallest pin to the largest piece of furniture, reveals to us various aspects of the persons and work of Christ. That's the gospel of the tabernacle. It is through the tabernacle God only wants to know that he desired to be with us, he designed a way to be with us, he declared he wanted to be with us. So how did God declare he wanted to be with them? And perhaps more importantly, how does God declare he wants to be with us? Well, after Moses finished the work, we read in Exodus chapter 40, verses 35 and 38, the Lord, then the cloud covered the tabernacle meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, and sat above the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. They moved when he moved, and not a moment before. When it was time to continue the journey through the wilderness, and the cloud above the tabernacle was taken up, when it was time to stop in their journey, the cloud was taken up. It was not taken up. They traveled with God like we travel with our smartphone. Before I leave the house, I make sure my smartphone is on me and fully charged. I've been known to leave the house and then realize I left it at home and turn around and go back to get it. I wouldn't think about leaving home without my smartphone. You talk about being vulnerable. Put my smartphone on me and I know I have a problem, I can call for help. If I have a question, I can call for the answer. If I have an emergency, I can call 911. Now, as good as having a smartphone with you is letting me tell you something even better. It's having the presence of God with you. I take his presence over my phone any day. We wouldn't think about traveling through the wilderness without the presence and protection and power of God. And all they had to do to know that God was with them was to gaze up at his glory and cloud. When it moved, they moved. When it stayed, they stayed. That cloud over Israel hovered like a giant protective canopy that protected them from their enemies. In Psalms chapter 105, verse 39, he spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light at night. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion, above assembly is a cloud of smoke by day and the shining of flame fire by night. For our overall glory, there will be covering. Throughout the wilderness journey, the cloud was always with them. We read in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19, yet in your manifold mercies you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light, and they should go. Think of it. With all the murmuring and unfaithfulness and rebellion and unbelief, God never withdrew the cloud. The same is true for us today. God remains with us through our ups and downs, through our faithfulness and unfaithfulness, through our obedience and disobedience, through the presence of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 16, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper that may abide with you forever. In the Old Testament, God declared he wanted to be with us, his children, through a cloud. In the New Testament, God declared he wanted to be with us, his children, through a cross. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The gospel, the message of the tabernacle can be summed up in a twofold proposition. God appears to man in grace, our approach to God in faith. And that, friend, is the gospel of the tabernacle. Let us end with a prayer. Lord God and Father, we praise you because we are your allowed to have community together in the name of Jesus, who has opened our eyes to see you and has promised to be among us when we are gathered in his name. May our hearts remain unshadowed, even when our lives seem to grow difficult and the future looks dark. Protect us whenever we are tempted and have battles to fight. Deliver us. Make us free people who know we belong to you and are allowed while still on earth to have a share of eternal life. Amen. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Now that brings us to the main part of the sermon, and that is the invitation. Okay, you are invited to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ if you have never got a chance to know him. Okay? So, all you have to do is simply say this simple prayer after me, and you will get to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge you that I'm a sinner, and I am very sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins, and I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word, Romans 10:9, that if we confess to the Lord Jesus, the Lord of God, and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And according to his word, right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your element of grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So once again, I want to say thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ? Please, give us your name so we can pray for you. If you just said this prayer, we welcome you into the family of the Lord. And may the Lord bless you and may he keep you highly favored. Amen. Okay. Yes, I'm okay, Dr. Thomas Berkeley. I just have COPD. Okay, let's take some calls. You're on the air.
Hello, Ken. This is Self Suck King. How are you? Are you all right?
Yeah, I just have
points in
it. Yes.
Okay, because at some point you were sounding like you were about to burst into tears.
No. It's my lungs.
Do you have COVID, or is it just the COPD?
The COPD.
Is it worse than COVID?
I don't know. I never had COVID.
That's good. Yeah, I have a question. I have a few questions. Well, not really questions. I just want your thoughts, your godly thoughts on a few topics, if you don't mind.
Okay.
See, I'm the king of auto fellatio, but I didn't have this girl I was dating a few years ago. Never got married, never got engaged. We just dated, but I had to cut her off. Because you see, I have a pet bird, and we were at dinner with her parents, and she just brought out of nowhere, oh yeah, he's gonna get rid of his bird. So So I just said, no, I think we're done here. Don't talk to me again. And I left. But I talked to another pastor, and they said it was ungodly. But here's the thing. Why I've had this bird for almost 15 years now, and this woman, why would she, if she didn't want me to have the bird, why would she get with me in the first place? It would be like Tony F. demanding you get rid of your tattoos, even though you already had them before you guys got together. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, yeah. Yeah. Well, a bird is a living creature, okay? And it can also be a great pet, okay? So you're attached to it, okay? I can understand that, you attach yourself to something, okay, that's precious to you, right?
Right. Well, it's not just that. I've had her for a long time, so if it was a problem with her, why would she even waste her time with me?
I don't know.
Yeah. So I wasn't told what I did was ungodly, but I just cut my losses. But the marriage wouldn't have worked out if we went with it. I could tell right away.
Probably not.
So I'm not going to go to hell for that, am I?
No.
On something else, you see my brother. He's quite older than me, but recently he started. He had this girl and he was dating her for a while. But see, after they got engaged, I guess maybe she thought she had him hook, line, and sinker. Because within a few months of being engaged, she gained 30 to 40 pounds and she started acting aggressive. And he did the same thing. He cut her off. I mean, they weren't married yet. See, some people would say he was being vain about her gaining weight, but I don't think so.
Well, yeah, I know. He got with her. She was a certain weight. And then she just let herself go. Okay, so.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, she thought she would get away with it.
Well,
a lot
of
women do that.
If you love the person, you love the person for what they are. Okay, and for who they are. Not for, by the weight they may gain. That's what
she
was probably looking at.
Well, it's the fact that she was only doing that to attract someone. And the moment she thought she had him, she let herself go. And it wasn't just the weight; she was starting to act like a nut job too.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's another thing.
So God wouldn't mind that?
No.
I hope you do better. I hope the COPD takes it easy on you because you were really struggling earlier. I was worried about you. I hope you're okay. I mean, there are rumors that you have cancer. I really hope they are not true.
No, I don't have cancer anymore.
Cancer before?
Yeah.
What kind?
Colon.
Did you have to get part of it removed?
No.
Oh, that's good. Well, how'd you get it to go away then?
With therapy.
Oh, chemotherapy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad it went away, and I hope it doesn't come back.
Yeah, me too. All righty.
Well, I'll get off now
okay,
and let someone else go, man. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome there, brother. Okay, let's take another caller. Okay, 843. Hello, 843.
Hello. Ken. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm in the hospital for some, it's a personal, I don't like to talk about it, but I'm just hanging out in the hospital at home. Yeah? Okay. Yeah, I have to keep it down. I have to keep it down for some, there's some patients here who are sick as well, but COVID or anything. But I'm just laying there in bed. I might get out in a few days.
Okay.
But I'm hanging in there.
I hope and pray that you do.
Yeah, have a prayer for me.
Yes, I will keep you in my prayers.
Okay. I just want to let everyone know I'm doing well. Okay.
Okay, that's good to know.
Thank you.
You're welcome, my brother. God bless you.
God bless.
Okay. Well, we got to take another caller here, 858.
Hey, Kenny. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, Kenny?
Nothing, just chilling. Hey, got myself in a bit of a pickle here. I've been volunteering at the senior center down here, down the street from my place, and originally when I was given the position of a caregiver, they asked me to go take a COVID test, and I kind of fudged it. I said that I took it, but I didn't, and I kind of came down with it, and I still kept going to work, to help them out, and I got a lot of these people sick, and I'm kind of wondering if you have any advice for me as to if there's any legal repercussions, because I totally forged a documentation of
well,
me getting
I,
that
I
COVID
really don't
test.
Know what to say on that. I mean that's something that's legal. I'm not up on the law.
I thought you would
laws.
Have some kind of.
Things
is there
like
any?
That.
Do you know if there's anyone in the audience that might know? Because like I said, I did know I was positive, and I still went in there and kind of because I thought I can still just help them and I'd wear a face mask, but you know when I was serving up the food and all that I had times where I coughed quite a bit on their food, and I probably spread a lot of that COVID. And a lot of them had been, let me just say, they're not doing too well. It's about 47 of them. It's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Is there anyone you can ask if I stay on the line and maybe ask if anybody can give some advice or some legal advice as to whether or not there are any legal repercussions? Would you mind trying to help me with that?
Okay, let me bring on 419. Okay, he might be able to give you some advice. Go ahead, 419.
So here's what you do. You, no matter how many people get sick, no matter how many people die, you just keep it zipped.
Yes.
You just don't say anything about it. That way,
that's what I was thinking.
Even if there are legal repercussions, no one knows.
They don't
You're
know.
In the clear.
No one knows about. Okay, good. I was thinking that too, because And then I went. I've been doing a lot of driving for senior citizens, and I do Uber and all that. And half the time, I have a fake mask. It looks like a mask, and it's actually not a mask at all. I just cut the center section of the mask off, and I just tell them it's a see-through mask. It's not. So I think I've been spreading the shit out of this thing in my area. We've had a huge jump in coronavirus cases. I've been doing Uber Eats. Sometimes I have a coughing fit. right on top of their food at times.
Yeah, I understand. You just keep it zipped. You know what's gonna, you're gonna feel bad. You're gonna feel guilty. Well, maybe you're a psychopath and you don't feel any guilt. You just keep it zipped and nothing.
I don't feel
good.
I don't feel. Yeah, I don't feel guilt. I don't know if guilt. When you're referring to guilt, are you referring to the fear that I feel about going to jail? Is that what guilt is?
Yes. Yes. Just keep
okay.
it zipped.
Thank God.
And nothing happens.
Yeah. Ken, thank you so much for bringing him on. I'm glad you've endorsed this individual and providing me legal advice. I was worried. I was worried because there's a lot of people getting sick in my area and in my neighborhood, and I would say it's thanks to me. I've always wanted to be super like a Superman when I was younger, but now I'm a super spreader. So amen to that.
You know, in
okay,
a way,
amen.
What you're doing is godly. Because you're potentially bringing them to heaven faster than they otherwise would go.
Oh, that's true. That's true, because if we left it up to all these liberals, they would wear masks nonstop. And I just, you know, what I'm trying to do is promote herd, what's that called, herd immunity.
Herd immunity.
Yeah, but I think I've been messed up because I've been trying it with the 90-year-olds and 80-year-olds and things like that, and it's not going as good as I thought it would.
You know, they're all on their way out anyways.
That's
they would
right.
have died from the
Ken,
flu.
Ken, are you worried about getting the coronavirus, being that you have OCPD and colon cancer and rectal dysphoria?
I don't have rectal dysphoria, okay? And I don't have colon cancer anymore. So, no, I'm not going to get COVID because I don't go places. I pretty much stay home.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
What do you do for
me? I do go out. I do wear a face mask. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the gentleman asked what you did for money. Is who's the I'm sorry, what's the gentleman's name that's on the line?
Soul-Suck King.
Stop cussing at him, Ken. I'm just asking him his name.
That's his name.
Soul-Suck King. That's my trade name, so to speak.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. What are you doing in that picture? You have your hat backwards.
I'm performing autofellatio.
On yourself?
Yes, auto fellatio.
Oh, you are very limber. Very limber.
Yes, I am. I teach contortion. If you ever want to learn, you can give me an email at hismajestyselfsuckking@gmail.com.
That's beautiful. I think I might be sending you an email. Ken, I thank you for bringing me on your show and providing me, you know, and essentially endorsing this individual and his legal advice. And I don't think that you are now, I don't think anything, I don't think that that there's any possibility of you getting in trouble for bringing this guy on the line to endorse after you've endorsed him and his legal advice. So if so, I mean, that's not me. That's up to you and your own lawyers, Ken. But, you know, it seems like as if this guy knows what he's talking about. Don't you agree, Ken?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
well, listen, guys.
I'm glad that.
Well, listen, there's a okay. Keep you on the line, but I'm gonna end the show. Okay, so I want to say God bless you all. Okay, may God keep you highly favored. I'm not ending the show. Okay, so God bless you. Okay, we'll come back on. We'll come back again on Tuesday. Okay, well, we're taking Monday off. Okay, so God bless you. Goodbye.